Welcome to this week's edition of Leading the Way, powered by the Institute for Corporate Productivity. Influential people, high-performing organizations, creating a culture of success. And now, your hosts, Scott Murray and Angel Carlton.
Hello, everybody. Great to have you along in this Sunday afternoon. Scott Murray along with Angel Carlton in yet another edition of Leading the Way as we share with you some of the great individuals in our world that we've all come to know. Some of them you probably do know, others you don't. But they've all been most successful in their lives as great leaders. I'm really excited to welcome again, as I always do, our co-host, talking about Angel Carlton, who is a director with I4CP, the Institute for Corporate Productivity. Hello, my friend. How are you doing?
Hey, doing wonderful. Thank you. And for those of you tuning in for the first time, the Institute for Corporate Productivity is a human capital research firm. We study the people practices of high-performing organizations and work with some of the top companies in the world, like Amazon and Microsoft, Starbucks and Ford, 3M, some great companies. And we provide empirical data and peer connections that help them outperform their competition. So we're really proud to be sponsoring Leading the Way.
And we talk about some of the great traits and the verticals that all these people seem to have in common, whether it's leadership or innovation or creativity, diversity, strategy, and certainly just creating a great culture about everything they do, philanthropically, productively, personally, professionally, whatever it might be. And we are really excited about our special guest here today because she is all of 24 years old, but already in her young life has been most successful in just about everything she's been a part of. She is a member of the Brown University graduating, I tell you what, we'll just ask her, how's that? I'm going to say hello to Kara Munn. What year was it that you graduated from Brown?
Yes, I was class of 2016.
Class of 2016. So just a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And your major was?
Business, entrepreneurship, and organizations. And I was in the top 3% of my concentration to graduate with honors.
Outstanding. And I'm told now that you would like to go on to law school. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. So as Miss America, I have earned $50,000 just becoming Miss America. And then prior to that, I had earned $45,000. So almost $100,000 to help fund my education. And Miss America is the largest scholarship provider for women. And so to be able
on the planet,
serve,
right? All in the entire world. Well, yes. You also spilled the beans, my friend, because, see, I hadn't told anybody that you were Miss America yet. I was kind of building up to that, and you said, and as Miss America, and I'm sure everybody's out there going, oh, my gosh. So congratulations, first of all, on being crowned Miss America, I might add, from Bismarck, North Dakota, the first person in the 97-year history of Miss America to come from the state of North Dakota, right?
Yes, the very first one. Prior to that, we only had 3 women ever make it in the top 10. So it was a huge accomplishment, not just for myself, but for the entire state.
Well, let's talk about, when you talk about accomplishment, what was it that is most special to you? Here in the midst of your reign, you're still, you know, you've still got a lot left this year. But what has been the thing that you really cherish most that you just say, oh my gosh, my dream has come true?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of glamorous moments as Miss America, but at the same time, it is a service-based organization. So I serve as the National Goodwill Ambassador for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, as well as the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And so that's something when I get to make a difference across our nation, not just within my state, that's when I think I really realize the opportunity that this organization's provided me.
I want to get Angel in here because she's got a book full of questions for you. But I do want to talk about the fact that you graduated from Brown, and you mentioned just prior to going out on the air with us that you're getting ready to go to grad school, you'd like to go to law school. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us
about
that.
Yes. Well, my end goal is to become the first female governor of the state of North Dakota. And so although you don't need to have a Juris Doctorate to do that, I have the scholarship money, so I want to put it to use. And I think having that JD is going to help me be that much stronger when I become a politician.
And where might law school be?
Well, Notre Dame right now, so we'll see if I can up my scholarship now that I have this extra, you know, activity on my resume.
Fantastic.
I think that's wonderful. It's a shame it's radio because you are absolutely stunning, and I wish everyone can see you.
Oh. Best part about her is her smile. That's what I like. You know, there's so many people that are your age or maybe a little younger, you hear about entitlement for your millennial group, whether it's X, Y, Z's, whatever, and I think that's the thing that I've, have been most impressed by is just how genuine you come across. So don't ever lose that. I don't know who mom and dad are, but they did a good job. That's most important. So you come across like that. So keep that up.
Right. Well, we like to kick things off in our Leading the Way show with a little something we call the lightning round. And it's a little bit about our listeners getting to know you on a personal level and a little bit about your journey to success and how you got where you are. So, Scott, why don't you kick it off with our first question?
All right. Very good. It's an easy one.
Okay.
First job. And what did you learn from it?
Yes. So my first job, I was 13, and I taught dance at our dance studio. So I think what I learned most was at the time, I didn't even drive myself. I was still getting dropped off to go to work.
Right.
And so it put a lot of responsibility. And the fact that, you know, parents were paying me to teach their children, that was a big thing. But then I also had people that believed in me and knew that I'd be, you know, a great dance teacher.
Fantastic. All right. Next question.
Oh, that's fantastic. So the next question is, who are your top, say, two mentors in life, and how did they have an influence on you?
Yes. Well, both my parents were very influential in my life, but I'm going to pick one parent, so that would be my mom, and then also the very first Miss North Dakota I ever met, and that was Stacy Thomas. But both my parents, I mean, throughout my life, I've had, you know, times where there were setbacks or times where I wanted to give up, and they always encouraged me along the way, and they always knew I'd be able to accomplish it. At the same time, I was an only child, and so Stacy Thomas, the first Miss North Dakota I met, she really instilled this sisterhood in me, and I had someone to look up to that wasn't a family member, but she was always available to talk or anything like that. And so I think that's really my dream of becoming Miss North Dakota spurred from her.
Third question. What has been the most significant experience in developing your skills as the young leader that you've become, and now what you're going to get a chance to do representing Miss America all across the country?
Yes, I would have to say in 2007, I had two classmates that were battling cancer, and on my 14th birthday, one of them passed away. And at her funeral, all memorials went to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I didn't really know much about Make-A-Wish. I didn't know much about giving back to my community or how strong my community would back me if I ended up doing something to help raise money. So my other friend was in the wish granting process, but her wish was more than average. And so at 14, I could have either sat back and, you know, hoped that the wish would come true, or I could have taken the initiative. And that's exactly what I did. So I started a charity fashion show that to date is an annual event. We just celebrated the 10th anniversary last year. It's raised over $80,000 and impacted the lives of 23 North Dakota Wish kids.
Outstanding. And so
Yes. But in that moment, I realized that age isn't a factor when it comes to making a difference.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be a lot of people who kind of question your abilities and, you know, what you are capable of and how big your dreams are. But at the end of the day, the only one who really limits you is yourself.
Good for you. Good for you. Keep it up. And good stuff, huh?
Great advice. In fact, that's my next question. So knowing where you've been and where you are now, what is the best advice you'd give someone in the next generation, or maybe someone even in your own generation?
Yes. Well, for me, I grew up and I had this goal to become Miss North Dakota, but I don't know why I didn't dream big enough to become Miss America. And I think part of it was the fact that there had never been a Miss America from North Dakota. And, you know, no one thought that I would be the one to do it, even myself. But when I got to Miss America, I thought, North Dakota is just as important as any other state. And I am just as trained and just as qualified for this job. And so I would tell those young girls to just keep dreaming bigger. You know, the only one who limits you is yourself. And so unless you dream it, you're not going to become it.
Never give up. Keep those aspirations high.
Absolutely.
Good advice. Last question in the lightning round. Your legacy that will best define you, young as you might be now, but in your life. What would you like that legacy to someday be?
Yes. I want people to look at me and say, because she did it, I can do it too. And I think one thing is, you know, we just assume because there hasn't been, you know, whatever it is, maybe it's Miss America from North Dakota, maybe it's the female president, a female vice president, female chief of the Supreme Court. But just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't, and doesn't mean that you can't be the one to do it.
Our special guest here on this edition of Leading the Way, Kara Munn. She is Miss America from the state of North Dakota. And we're back with more right after this.
What are best practices? Are they what set you apart from your competition? Or are they simply what most companies do to stay in the race? At the Institute for Corporate Productivity, or I4CP, we focus on next practices. And that focus is what today's high-performance organizations rely on to lead the way. Next practices are tactics and strategies that our research has discovered have a great impact on market performance, but that few companies are using. They are what will define market leadership in the years ahead. I4CP helps you see around the curve so your company can adapt and take advantage of emerging trends in the ever-evolving world of human capital. We want you to lead the way. So join our team, I4CP, Institute for Corporate Productivity, leading the way.
I want a job I can be proud of.
I want to earn a paycheck.
I want to gain independence.
Over 25 years ago, we started Best Buddies to help people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, giving what they need to find jobs where they will excel.
Having a job makes me feel like I'm contributing.
Like a team player.
My disability does not define who I am.
My name is John, and I work as an assistant.
To volunteer, hire, or make a donation, go to bestbuddies.org today.
And now back to Leading the Way, powered by the Institute for Corporate Productivity. Here's Scott Murray and Angel Carleton.
Welcome back as we continue our conversation with the lovely Cara, the reigning Miss America. This is great. This is great that she's taking the time from your busy schedule. How many speeches or how many appearances, maybe better put, that you're a part of, do you get to do each and every week?
Oh, well, it just depends on the week. So on average, I change locations about every 48 hours. I travel about 20,000 miles a month.
Back up. 20,000 miles a month?
Yes.
So we're talking like a quarter of a million miles in the course of your tenure as Miss America.
Oh, yes, yes. And I had counted by the time Christmas had hit. Someone in my family asked how many states I'd been to, and it was already 15. So from September to December, 15 states, numerous of the same locations.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. So tell us, what have been some of the experiences? I mean, I'm so curious to know what you've gotten to experience in September since taking the crown, and what do you look forward to in this year ahead?
Yeah, do you have favorite things that you get a chance to do? I see right where Angel's going that she wants you to hear about all the neat things you get a chance to be a part of.
Yeah, so absolutely. Well, that night I won, I knew that not only did I make history, but my life was changed forever. And one of the first things I got to do was the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And a fun story about that was that actually in high school, I wanted to be a Radio City Rockette. And I would dream of getting to be in the Macy's Day Parade. And I trained 4 summers with them. And by the time I turned 18, I was too short to actually be a Rockette. And so I thought that I would never get to be in the Macy's Day Parade. And so when I arrived, I had a Miss America float, and the Rockettes had their own float, but here I had my own. So it just kind of proved everything happened for a reason. And then I also got to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange and light the Christmas tree.
Okay.
So that was really special. I got to attend the 2018 State of the Union, and that was remarkable. I believe I was the very first Miss America to ever be invited, and I was invited by my state senator. I had worked for him, and he thought, well, what better person to invite than the first Miss America from North Dakota? So I got to do that. I absolutely loved the taste of the NFL, the Super Bowl weekend. That was something that I thought I would never get to experience, but it was remarkable.
Sports fan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You talk about wanting to someday be a U.S. senator.
Yes, yes.
If you could change one thing about the world we live in today, there's so much turmoil going on in our country, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, it doesn't much matter. Everybody seems to be concerned about this, concerned about that. What would you do to change what we have in our country today? Just one or two things that come to mind that you think would really be important and might even turn things around for us all.
Yes. Well, when I was at the State of the Union, I sat up in the gallery and I looked out and I had a really hard time picking out the women. And so the first thing I would do would encourage more young women to go for political office. I think we're often a little afraid and not sure if we're going to, you know, be elected. But unless we try, we're never going to know. And so I would love to see equal representation and hopefully, you know, be an inspiration to young girls or other women, older women, same age as me, to get involved. But before being senator, I would love to be the first female governor of the state of North Dakota. And working for the senator, I realized a lot of healthcare issues that our state needs to work on. And I'm not sure if that can be done at the federal level or if it's better to be done at the state level. Particularly in North Dakota, rural healthcare is very expensive, being able to transport over. We just passed an air ambulance bill, and that was something I was really passionate about. And so maybe if we could do that at the federal level as well, I would love to see that. But just making healthcare a little bit more affordable. With my work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation and Children's Miracle Network, you hear from parents how difficult it is to afford it. And at a time when they're facing their toughest battles, they shouldn't be concerned about whether or not they can afford it.
Gosh, that's impressive. That's really impressive. And what a difference maker you are just thinking in that way. And so the Miss America competition, how has that helped you and develop you and or all of these young ladies, for that matter, in becoming future women leaders?
Yes, so I look at my experience, and I never thought that I would be Miss America. And I thought, you know, I knew what my expectations were. I knew what I would achieve, but I just never dreamed big enough. And so that, you know, from the moment I was crowned Miss America, I thought, okay, well, I could be the first female governor of North Dakota. You know, if I don't try it, I'm never going to know. And also just the importance of persistence. For me, it took 4 years to win the title of Miss North Dakota. It wasn't just a one time and I got to Miss America and I won. And so I think that's something specifically with our nation's leaders is you need to be willing to fight for something. If you're, you know, run for office, you don't win the first time, then try again. If there's a bill that's not going to pass on the floor the first time, then rewrite it and try it again. But until, you know, we do that, nothing's going to be accomplished.
Pretty good answer for a 24-year-old, huh? Miss America or not? The two of us are sitting here most impressed by all that you're sharing with us. So let me ask you this. Diversity, inclusion, a couple of things that we talk a lot about. And when you talk about corporate America and how organizations all across, whether it's a for-profit or a not-for-profit, they are trying to figure out the way that they can best raise awareness and brand their product and who they are and what they're all about every single day. So that said and done, you talked about women. Women of all backgrounds are taking on high-level positions in the workplace today, really more than ever before, which is great. As someone that has a daughter and had two sisters, I'm all for that. So how has the Miss America competition contributed to the success, and how do you hope to even further it down the road?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, this organization's about empowering women. And so until we empower them, I don't know if we're going to, you know, have the courage to do it. And like I had said, we haven't had a female president, vice president, or chief justice of the Supreme Court. But until we have women that are out there proving that you can do it, you know, I think we just need examples. And organizations like the Miss America one is the perfect role model for our young girls to look up to. Miss America's a servant. She's a scholar. She's an advocate for change. And that's what we need our young women to realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the culture behind this historic organization and the competition itself, I would imagine, really is a difference maker in itself for these young women. And so I guess my question is, how are you becoming a role model because of this? And how, you know, what, how can younger girls look up to you through this competition, and even the ones that you competed against?
Yes, yes. Well, one thing that really surprised me is I got to Miss America, and it's women competing against women, but you're not competing against one another. You're competing with one another. And at the end of the day, that night before crowning, I looked at every one of the contestants, and they're the top representatives of their state. And really, any one of us could have been Miss America. And I think that's with any job as well. High qualified women, it's going to be down to the perception or, you know, how that person is feeling when they're hiring. And so you just had to keep that in mind as we all worked so hard to be there. And at the end of the day, we were proud for whoever won. And I remember thinking that I was looking on stage and I said, oh, she could be Miss America and she could be Miss America. And oh, wouldn't she be the best Miss America? And that's what we need to keep looking at. You know, as women, we can't keep competing against one another and trying to beat each other out, but instead empowering one another. You know, we're more similar than we are different. And I think we really need to realize that.
Where did all this come from? All that you're sharing with us right now. Was this mom? Was this dad? Was this a grandmother that you were excited about in your young life? I'm a little taken back by just everything that you've shared with us, because I know lots of people that are your age or even older, but you have a great compassion with a great sense of wanting everybody to be a part of it. We talked about inclusion just a moment ago, and certainly you're focused on women and the opportunities that, that need to be afforded towards all women. And yet, you still, for your age, and again, I refer to that, just the entitlement thing that a lot of times you hear about your generation. Share with me what goes through your mind and where all this comes from.
Yeah, so my parents were great role models for me. And coming from North Dakota, I never felt like I was handed opportunities. I always had to work for them. And I think that really put things in perspective for me. And when I got to Brown, it was a much more diverse community than I was used to. And I realized the power of that diversity. When you have like-minded individuals sitting in a room together, the innovation isn't there. But when you have people from different backgrounds, different stories, different perspectives, that's when we make a huge change. And so it is. It's so important to have diversity just for innovation, for entrepreneurship, to keep our nation moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I love that what you had to say about women empowering women rather than competing against one another. That is so important, and really honoring one another for our journeys, for our ambitions and goals. So that's great. Great. You off the air, you had mentioned and shared with us that you were a shy girl growing up. So how does a shy young girl become Miss America in 2018?
Yes. Well, I was very shy. I was a shy only child. And, you know, I was interested in my first pageant or competition when I was five. And it was something that, you know, at that time, I really wasn't afraid. But as I got through my preteen years and, you know, got into teenager, that's when I started, you know, you build up this worry. And am I good enough? Am I, you know, measuring up? And I really had to go outside of my comfort zone. And as soon as I did that, I realized, you know, their capabilities are so much more than I ever expected.
What will you be doing 20 years from now? You told us professionally you'd like to be a U.S. senator, but how about in your personal life? Do you hope to have a family someday? What's on the horizon?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to have a family. I love kids. So I would like to be the mom who's working in the Senate, but then also goes and picks her kids up from daycare. I think I can definitely do both jobs, and I'm ready for it.
And the three most important things that you would share with your children, what comes to mind? Obviously, mom or dad or some other mentors that you talked about earlier shared some good thoughts with you on what it takes to be successful and respected on this planet. How about you?
Yes. Well, first thing I would tell them is never give up. That was something, persistence. It's so important. The next thing would be to keep dreaming bigger. Like I had said, do not limit yourself. And then the third thing would be going back to that diversity and the different opinions of others. Always listen to the stories of others. Always be open-minded because you learn so much from those around you.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Wow, yes. Great answers, great answers. So my question is, oh gosh, you've got such huge ambitions, and there is no doubt in my mind you're going to accomplish them all and have so many more firsts in your life. And I'm excited to see that journey unfold now that I've had the opportunity to meet you. If you were to give advice to a CEO of a major company on how to lead their people, what would you say? What advice would you give them for especially the generation that's coming into the workplace that's now graduating college? What advice would you give that leader?
Yes, I would just say it's not all about you. I think that's something that's really important, is that the successful companies are those that listen to their employees. They know what the concerns are. They learn what the impact and potential of the company is by those that work there. And so I think they just need to realize that, you know, it's so much more than just yourself. You know, your company's taking off and you can make a true impact.
Do you ever think about going into the news business or being on television or radio?
Well, if I'm a senator, I think I'll be doing quite a few press releases.
Well, I meant as a broadcaster or something
interviews.
Like that. Fill our shoes.
Oh.
I think you'd do a great job.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you.
Do you want to give it a shot and take us to break? Say when we come back, we'll have more of Leading the Way with Kara Munn, the reigning Miss America?
Sure.
Take it away.
All right. Well, coming back after break, we'll continue on with Leading the Way. I'm Kara Munn, Miss America 2018.
Outstanding.
Stay tuned.
Outstanding. We're coming right back. I think we lost our job, Angel.
Yeah. <I'm> replaced.
At Leading the Way, we're all about hearing from influential leaders. So if you're a business leader interested in cutting-edge talent practices, then don't miss the annual I4CP conference coming up in March.
You'll get to meet influential leaders such as New York Times bestselling authors Brené Brown and Dan Pink, management professors Andrew Rozzaghi and Sidney Finkelstein, and executives from innovative companies like Accenture, Pinterest, Intel, and Booz Allen Hamilton.
The I4CP conference is annually ranked as one of the top HR and talent events focused on next practices, the strategies and tactics that impact profit, but that few companies are using.
Designed for senior HR, talent, learning and diversity leaders, and close to vendors and consultants, the conference offers superior networking and thought leadership so you can better understand and address the critical people issues facing your organization.
Learn more today by signing up at i4cp.com/conference. That's i4cp.com/conference.
And now back to Scott Murray and Angel Carleton and Leading the Way, powered by the Institute for Corporate Productivity.
Welcome back to Leading the Way. We're talking with Kara Mund, Miss America 2018. I'm Angel Carleton here with Scott Murray. And Kara, I am so curious to know, how do you prepare for a Miss America competition? What is your strategy that you use to prepare?
Now, I've got to interrupt there first. Are you looking for some help?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
here's a Miss America wannabe right here.
Right. So living vicariously here.
Yes. Well, for me, the journey to Miss America was never easy. It took 4 tries to get there just at the state level. And my 3rd try, I was first runner-up. And so the 4th try, I wasn't sure if I should go back because I didn't want to be first runner-up again. I didn't want to place lower than I already had. I wanted to win. And I realized the worst thing to do was to look back and wonder what if. And so I might as well try that last year of eligibility. And so when I got to Miss North Dakota, I won every category. And that was the first time in North Dakota's history. So I won talent and onstage question and interview and evening gown, and I felt so ready for Miss America. And I realized that all of those times I didn't accomplish what I had hoped to, I had just learned and became a stronger and stronger contestant. And so from there, when I was preparing for Miss America, I got a lot of advice from people. And while they're trying to help you along the way, they were changing me into a different contestant than I was. I was told to cut my hair. I was told to dye a different color. I was told to change my wardrobe completely. I was told to not say where I went to school. And at the end of the day, while they were all trying to help me and trying to make me fit into this mold, as they saw as Miss America, I knew there wasn't a mold. And the girl that was up on that stage that would be crowned had to be the same girl off the stage. And so it was difficult. I didn't know what to do. And I never wanted to look back and be like, again, what if? What if I would have taken that advice? But I had to stay true to myself. And I think that's what made the win that much greater, was that I did it my way.
Very nice. Very nice.
What type of collaboration goes on between the women in the competition?
Yes. Well, you spend 2 weeks with each other. And so by the time that final night gets there, I mean, you've been with one another almost 24 hours for 14 days. And so you get to know each other pretty well.
Like brother and sister.
Yeah, sister almost. Sister. Just sisters. Yeah. And that's what we call it, a sisterhood. And I keep in mind that my crown and my title, it only lasts a year. But those relationships I have with those women last a lifetime. And how often do you get to say, I go to any state in the nation and I know someone. And someone that's a, you know, empowered woman that's going to make a huge difference. And so, you know, it was amazing. And I think, you know, the best parts, I walked away Miss America, but I also walked away with 50 other new sisters.
Very nice. I had the distinct honor of serving as the host of the Children's Miracle Network for a number of years on television. And I know that Miss America is involved very very intently with the Children's Miracle Network, and yet there are other service organizations and what have you, and a lot of times people look at it, I hate to call it a beauty pageant, but Miss America over the years, I remember as a kid, wow, isn't that neat? But now it's become so much more, and I've noticed on your crown that you have 4 points, and I was told that each one of those points represents something. Is that true?
Yes, yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes, the organization is completely transformed, and Miss America serves as a representation of what it means to be a woman in our nation. And so those 4 points stand for service, style, scholarship, and success. And we already talked a little bit about the scholar part. So being a well-educated woman, earning scholarship money to help fund your education. The style, I like to incorporate that as how you live your life. Styles are always coming in and out, but the character you have, that never does. And so that's what I see as the style aspect. The success is setting goals for yourself and reaching them along the way. But my favorite point, like you said, is the service point. And so as Miss America, I serve as the National Goodwill Ambassador for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And as Miss North Dakota, prior to winning, we only had one hospital in the state that was actually a Children's Miracle Network hospital. And so when I became Miss America, that was one of the best things I looked forward to, was making an impact across our nation. I've already visited 7 children's hospitals from California to Texas. I did get to go back to North Dakota. I'll be doing one on the East Coast next week. And so to walk into this room when the child's facing one of their toughest battles and just be a little bit of inspiration, it's a true honor, and being able to give back. I mean, that's what it is to be a Miss America.
Good for you.
This organization has been around for so long, and we've seen a lot of changes in our world since then. What's it like to be a part of the Miss America competition in 2018?
Yes, well, it is all about empowering women and, you know, making them the female CEOs, making them female senators, making them possibly the first governor of their state. You know, it is about empowering them, and I am so honored to serve as the face and the voice during this time. We have almost reached our 100-year anniversary, so we're at 97 right now. And so to know that, you know, this organization started to empower, and here we are almost 100 years later, once again, just making sure that our platforms, you know, Miss America gives us a platform to stand and a microphone to be heard. And I'm very, very grateful for that.
Obviously, you're most proud to be a part of this entire organization. And yet I just wondered, people are often asked about their bucket list. Do you know that term?
Yes.
All you've done at 24 is what most people do in a lifetime. And yet, I mean, come on, Cara, be honest. I see that grin and that smile on your face. Bucket list for you. Are there some things that, you know, over and above being a U.S. senator, you know, 10, 20 years from now, whenever that might be, what else comes to mind?
Yes, so this is a great question, because this was actually one of my onstage questions.
Was it really?
At Miss America. Yes, and in that moment, I said, getting to be in the top 7 at Miss America. Like I had said, prior to winning Miss America, I just had these lower expectations. I saw goals that were unattainable, and now I feel like I can break anything. I can break any glass ceiling. I can do whatever it is that I hope to accomplish. So yes, governor, senator, I would love to travel outside of the United States a little bit more. I've been very fortunate to work with the USO and help support our troops both domestic and abroad. And so, you know, being able to see that, now I want to travel even more. You know, I realize there's so very few limitations at the end of the day. And so just go after it. Try to accomplish it. That's what's my main bucket list, is never be afraid.
Oh, that's fantastic. So inspiring. So much wisdom for such a young person. And we actually had the honor of having the CEO of the USO on the show a couple of weeks back. And so that's great. The great work that you're doing. What would you say would be your secret sauce? What makes you Cara Mund, that separates you from everybody else? You're such a confident young lady and so pleasant. If you look at yourself, if you were to hold up that mirror, what do you see?
Yes. Well, for the longest time, I often feel like I'm underestimated, and I was the underdog. And I remember when I wanted to go to Brown, I met with a guidance counselor, and he said, there's no way a woman like you is going to go to Brown. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if it was because I came from North Dakota. I didn't know what it meant, but I was so determined to prove him wrong. And same with Miss America. You know, I don't think anyone expected me to make that top 15 goal I had for myself. And I walked out the winner of Miss America. And so I think what my secret sauce is I thrive off of those that don't think I can accomplish it. And instead of, you know, worrying or, you know, agreeing with what their opinion is, I am so focused on proving them wrong.
During the course of the the interview, we've gotten a chance to hear all the wonderful things you've been a part of in your young life. And I just wondered, is there something that we would be surprised to find out about you? Or something that we'd say, you're kidding. That's Kara?
Yes. Well, I would say, I do come off fairly accomplished. I went to Brown. I did a lot of work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation when I started my own fundraiser. I got to be Miss America. But for that one resume of all those accomplishments, I have three other resumes of things I never got. But those aren't the things I count as failures. It's the things that I was just too afraid to ever try. And so, I do have a great list of accomplishments, but then also things I never got. And at the end of the day, you realize everything happens for a reason. And although you may not know in that moment, you will realize it later.
Yeah, adversity is a great motivator, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you this. We're having dinner. We finished the radio show today. And you say, Angel, Scott, join me for dinner. We say, we'd love to. But we still have five seats here to invite some other people. Who are you going to put on those five seats? Anybody that you've met, anybody that you've never met, somebody that's living, somebody that's deceased, somebody famous, somebody we've never heard of. Anybody ever in the history of mankind, who do you invite? Five seats.
Wow. Okay. So first one, I would have to do President Barack Obama. I did have the opportunity to meet him in 2011. I was honored for my work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but it was very brief. And at that dinner, I wouldn't want to talk policy, but instead I'd want to talk about how he got to be where he was. What was it like to be the first African-American president? It couldn't have been easy. And those are things that the media often didn't cover. And so I wouldn't want to talk policy. But I'd want to talk about, overcoming that and kind of leading the way for all of the young kids and all of those. Again, you look up to him and you say, because he did it, I can do it too. So he would be the first one. The next one I would have to say is, next two seats, I'm going to invite my parents. Because if we're having dinner with Barack Obama, we're going to invite my parents. and like I said, they're the ones who made me who I am today. So that's our three seats there. I would then invite Victoria Claflin Woodhull. She's actually a relative of mine, and she was the first female to ever run for president. And that was before women even had the right to vote. And so, I obviously never got the opportunity to meet her, but it runs in the family.
Now, who might this have been?
Yes. So this was in the 1800s, end of the 1800s that she ran.
And she was your?
She's on my mom's side. And so that's where I think the determination and wanting to be the first to accomplish something. I think it dates all the way back then in my family line. And then I'm going to say. Oh, we're at one
more
seat.
You got one left.
This is tough. Does the dinner have to be right now or can it be in the future?
You name it.
Okay, we're going to have it in the future, and it's going to be the first female president because I am confident that we are going to have the first female president.
Well, I thought that was going to be you.
Oh, I don't know about president. That's a tough job. I want to change North Dakota right now. We'll see. I'm very confident it's going to happen in my lifetime. And that's who I want that seat reserved for.
Well, I'll tell you what. What did you think in the last hour, all that this young lady has shared with us? She is the reigning Miss America. She is the reigning Miss North Dakota, Kara Munn. What has impressed you most?
Well, I just admire the fact that you were motivated by people underestimating you, and that gave you determination to prove them wrong because you knew differently. You mm-hmm. knew the strength and the unlimited potential that you have inside you, and what an inspiration you are to so many young ladies. Keep up the good work, Kara.
Thank you.
Nothing I could add to what Angel just said. Well put. Keep up the good work. We're going to let you have the final word. You're standing on the stage. You said you don't know if you want to be president someday, but if you were today, the one thing you'd change about our country, what comes to mind?
Equal representation. I want everyone's voices heard. It doesn't even have to be by gender. It could be by race. It could be by social economic class. But I just want to make sure that every single person in this nation is heard.
Well, the Miss America organization got it right this year, for sure. You're a lovely young lady, but more importantly, with great wisdom and great poise and great finesse. And in a great heart. So thank you so much for spending time with us on Leading the Way. And we can't thank you enough. You're wonderful. And knock them dead from this point on. And we're going to be looking for that governor or that U.S. senator from North Dakota.
Yeah, we'll be cheering you on.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Our thanks to Cara Munn, the reigning Miss America. Still to come, our inside segment, so don't go away. At Leading the Way, we're all about hearing from influential leaders. So if you're a business leader interested in cutting-edge talent practices, then don't miss the annual I4CP conference coming up in March.
You'll get to meet influential leaders such as New York Times bestselling authors Brené Brown and Dan Pink, management professors Andrew Rozegi and Sidney Finkelstein, and executives from innovative companies like Accenture, Pinterest, Intel, and Booz Allen Hamilton.
The I4CP conference is annually ranked as one of the top HR and talent events focused on next practices, the strategies and tactics that impact profit, but that few companies are using.
Designed for senior HR, talent, learning and diversity leaders, and close to vendors and consultants, the conference offers superior networking and thought leadership so you can better understand and address the critical people issues facing your organization.
Learn more today by signing up at i4cp.com/conference. That's i4cp.com/conference.
Welcome back to Leading the Way. Here are your hosts, Scott Murray and Angel Carleton.
Hello again. We've been talking with Cara Munn, 2018 Miss America, and what an impressive person she is. Sure makes me proud to be an American, knowing we have an amazing person like her representing the United States across the globe. What do you think, Scott?
Well, I tell you what, I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of Miss Americas over the years, and I think if I hate to show favorites, but here in this year, 2018, in this crazy world that we're all a part of, I was as impressed with her as anybody that I have ever met that holds that crown of Miss America. She's only 24. Maybe it's that she comes from a state like North Dakota, where she probably grew up with some pretty solid values. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after seeing all that she has become a part of, I just was most impressed with how mature she is and how eloquent she is. Mm-hmm. And how just compassionate and focused on making a difference. And it wasn't like she had all these packaged little sound bites that a lot of times people in that position have. That was all her. That was all real. That was all sincere.
Oh, yeah.
So she is something special. She really, really is. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if indeed someday she is that first senator or first governor that is a woman from the state of North Dakota.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be definitely watching, keeping my eye on her. Well, as you know, Leading the Way is powered by the Institute for Corporate Productivity, and it's time now for the I4CP Insights segment. Today, we're featuring I4CP co-founder and futurist, Jay Jamrog. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Good afternoon, Angel. Hi, Scott. How is everybody?
Yeah. Doing just fine.
Good.
Doing just fine.
Yeah. Well, so what did you think of Cara Munn?
It's hard to beat what you just said. She is a very impressive person. You know, I don't care male or female, I would say she ranks up there as one of the people to watch in the future.
Oh, no question. I totally agree. Totally agree,
Jay. My one question I wanted to ask was, does she keep her freaking flyer miles?
Yeah, right. 20,000
<You're right>.
Miles.
You're looking for a couple of freebies, are you?
Yeah.
Well, she's got the kind of heart that I'm sure if you said, you know, I could shoot, you know, use a couple, I'm sure she would send them to you. She's just that kind of gal. Well, I tell you what, let's move on with our insight segment, Jay. And Angel and I have four or five questions here to throw your way. You're always so, you always have such wisdom when you share with us. And I thought, gosh, now I never thought about that. So let me ask you this. We heard your thoughts on Cara. You said, you know, she is something special, but how does she compare to the majority of young people at her age that you have come to know over the years in the corporate America environment?
Well, I got to tell you, the young people today are very impressive. As you know, Angel and Scott, we've done a lot of research on especially 20-somethings coming in the workforce. They always seem to, no matter what year, if we're in a tight labor market, they seem to give employers fits, especially if we're in a tight labor market. But I'm very impressed with the young people today and how intelligent, how smart, how aware. Maybe it's because of social media. I don't really know. It's just they're just very aware, very smart, very savvy, a lot more aware and mature than I was at their age, that's for sure. So they're an impressive group of people. What employers have got to get straight is how do you get the most out of them in the right way to add value for the company, because they want to. And if you don't tap into it, they will say sayonara very fast.
As you probably heard me in the beginning of the interview, I asked her about entitlement, because a lot of times you hear that word kicked around when you talk about this young generation. But from what I'm hearing you say, there certainly are exceptions, and there probably are those that think, hey, where's the new car when I'm 16 years old? But over and above that, it's a whole different world, really. So that might not be a fair thing to say about this generation.
Well, they're so diverse. And so depending on their socioeconomic background, their demographics, their family history, et cetera, where they come from, they have very different attitudes. So it's hard to make stereotypical generalizations about a whole group of people. They're very, very diverse.
Okay.
So you can get those who have a chip on their shoulders, yes.
Right.
Who have an attitude. But the vast majority of the talent, I'm talking to those that employers are really going after. They're smart, they're intelligent, they're articulate, and they know what they want. And if you don't step up to the table, they're gone in a minute, because it's not that they're disloyal. They're loyal to their profession. They're loyal to what they want to do. They want to make a difference in the world. And if the organization doesn't give them those experiences and opportunities, they'll look for it elsewhere. Because in a tight labor market, they have a lot of choices.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's not that they're entitled. They just want to get in an environment where they can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're used to those accolades. You know, that's been a part of their upbringing. And we asked Kara, you know, what advice would you give a CEO of a major company? And her response was pretty much what you're saying. I mean, listen to their employees. Give everyone that voice. So how important is this message for CEOs to hear today?
Well, I mean, it's very insightful, since she's never been a CEO.
Right.
Leading a company, you're very isolated. You're surrounded, whether you want to or not to, with yes people. You're very much the alpha dog in the room. So it's very hard to really get a true feeling of what the employees are feeling, and for them to actually trust that they can say that to you. So and a big thing is trust. I'll tell you a quick story. I had a chance to shadow Andy Grohe early on in my career, and for 2 half days. And of course, I had to sign my life away, because you had to sign all kinds of disclosure agreements. But he went to a meeting where this guy was brilliant, and he was talking about the future, and I'm the budding futurist. He's talking about the future, and I'm in awe of this person. And he was talking to about 25 HR professionals, lower down people, not senior level. And when he got finished with about 45 minutes, he says, is there any questions? He was talking about the future. And almost every hand shut up and started challenging his assumptions and giving their opinion on his speech. It was the most uncomfortable I had been in my life. I said, how dare they just challenge this brilliant person? And when I got out of the room, I asked Mr. Grohe, can you tell me what happened there? And he said, you know, I'm isolated. I want people to challenge my assumptions. That's the only way I grow. That's the only way I can become a better leader, is to listen to them and have them challenge my assumptions and get their point of view. In fact, I have 5 W's I live by. And the 5 W's were why.
I can remember that.
Yeah. So the whole thing that he built into his leadership was listening. And he said, of course, once we make a decision, there's no more challenging the assumption. Everybody got to get on board and execute the strategy. But there's times when I want them to trust that they can give me their opinion, and that they can talk to me about their concerns and desires.
I like that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
I really like that.
I mean, that's a good CEO.
Oh, for sure.
That really
for
is
sure.
Great leadership.
Well, let me take it a step further and ask you this. Kara is, you hear this term role model often used. It's tossed mm-hmm. around all the time. And she certainly is a role model for so many young women and even young girls. And the message that she shared kind of translates to the masses. So being a role model is kind of like a mentorship relationship in the business world. Would you not agree? So what I'd like you to do, if you could, Jay, is share with us just a little bit about how effective mentorship works and why it's so important when you talk about corporate America.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I would say a role model is a much more, it's a bigger job than just being a mentor to somebody in the business world. there's so much more responsibility to be in a role model. And I think she's a role model not only for women and young girls, but for men also, and young men. I mean, her story is inspirational, and the things she says is inspirational. So role model is a little bit different, a lot more responsibility than a mentor. A mentor has responsibility to guide somebody along the path, to let them know they have the strengths and opportunities to make it in the company and sort of mentor them along the way. It's all and there's a difference between being a coach and a mentor. So sometimes they're sort of confused. So a coach will coach you on your skills and your abilities and how to grow them better. A mentor is more or less somebody who leads you along the way in an organization. Where are the pitfalls? What's the culture like? What's the CEO like? What are the different players in the organization? And how can I, guide you along to make the best of your skills and opportunities to be a success in the company? So it's, I think role models are a much tougher job. I would not like to have be labeled as trying to be a role model for what she's doing. I mean, she's excellent at it. So I think it's a tougher job.
Yeah, it's got a lot more pressure.
Oh my
like,
goodness! Yes. You know?
Absolutely. Well, Kara spoke of diversity, which it was so refreshing to hear her speak of diversity and. Always listen to the opinion of others was her advice. Mm-hmm. And she has shared so many views about women empowerment. And I mean, is this diverse thinking the norm for the 20-somethings? I mean, and how do you think this perspective will impact the workplace in the future and what role diversity plays?
Yeah, so she linked it to innovation, which is key. It's also linked to just about everything we study in our when we build in a diversity and inclusion as part of the studies we do. It's almost always highly correlated with market performance and whatever study we're doing, like leadership or innovation or agility, especially agility. But having those diverse opinions room, I got to tell you, with young people today, everybody gets a little, there's a little bit of a myth out there that the fastest growing demographic group is Hispanics. And it is growing very fast. But truly, by percentage growth, which that's how they label fastest growing populations, it's interracial kids. And so you see with young people, interracial dating and interracial marriage is growing very, very fast. And it's a tribute to young people who see beyond the color of a person's skin and gets into the character of the person. And she talked about character also as part of diversity and inclusion. So it's a big part of really, being a leader. I tell people all the time, if you want to be a good leader, the best way to do it is try for different ways to get out of your cultural comfort zone. Because being in your cultural comfort zone, it's easy. Everybody thinks like you, acts like you, has secret handshakes and winks and nods, and everybody knows what you're talking about. To be a leader with a global mindset means getting out of your cultural comfort zone and understanding how other people think. That way you can be a better leader.
Yes, gosh, that's great, Jay. And it's so encouraging to hear that young people really do see beyond color. And and I have to say, maybe it's the parenting that is breaking that that trend of carrying that
stereotypes.
The judgments, the stereotypes, and not translating it to their children, and so they're growing up in a much more diverse world.
You can see by the news and some of the other things that have been happening today that we still got a long way to go. We're not there completely. But you do see young people they're very inspirational.
Yes.
So you look at the young people that are coming out of Florida after this recent accident and how much they're inspiring me. And wanting to make a difference in the world after the recent shootings in Florida. Mm-hmm. The young people are just, I was watching them on the news and I said, wow.
Yeah.
They must have great parents.
Totally agree. Yep. Totally agree. Yeah. Well, Jay, I wish we had more time. As always, we always have to cut you off because you've got such great wisdom to share with us. But once again, we have to do that. But we want to thank Kara Munn, the reigning Miss America, the first ever from the state of North Dakota, and our good friend Jay Jamrog, the co-founder, futurist from I4CP. Till next week, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you much. And thanks to all of you as well. For Angel Carlton, I'm Scott Murray. Don't forget to live your legacy by leading the way. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.